the charity of the week. Please tell us your name and charity.
Mary Doyle, and I head up to Cruise Bereavement Support Isle of Man.
How did the charity start and what is its purpose?
I don't exactly know the full history, but I know it started in 1988 and the main purpose was to support people who were bereaved, whether they were children, young people or adults, and that could be giving them advice or support or information or anything they actually needed at that time. And obviously that's nearly 38 years and we've evolved quite a lot since then.
Tell us about your team.
We're a very small team. As I say, I head up the charity, I'm chief executive, and then we've got Mark, who is head of operations, but that sounds really impressive because it's really just very busy a lot of the time, and then a part-time administration lady, and then we employ two children and young people bereavement specialists, Sonia and Claire.
Who is the charity for?
I think it's for everybody that's struggling with grief. Grief can hit you kind of like a torrential rain, or you're thinking you're fine and you're talking to family and friends, and obviously in the beginning you're probably quite shocked, and then after a while you kind of think this is not going away, and actually talking to somebody neutral who's non-judgmental, independent and confidential, they can actually help you talk through your feelings in an honest listening and talking therapy type of way. That's what we actually do.
Which other organisations do you work with?
Everyone that wants to work with us, basically. We're such a small team, and I kind of think it's really important that we stick to what we actually do. So bereavement support is exactly what we do. So if anyone needs additional support, whether it's mental health issues, as in CAMHS for children and young people, or whether it's adult mental health, we refer to them. We work very closely with them. We work with all the other charities. Well, not all of them, but obviously Hospice Isle of Man, we work very closely with. I Listen, we work with the DAP team, Drug and Alcohol. You know, we work with everyone. We put really everything we do is putting the patient or client, whichever way you want to describe it, or customer, at the centre of everything, and seeing what their need is. We will stick to bereavement support in whatever support they need.
What are your main goals?
I think our main goal is to make sure that somebody that's very bereft and can't actually talk through or think through their emotions, one of our bereavement volunteers, if it's an adult, can actually help them develop coping mechanisms and resilience. We don't take away the pain. There's no magic formula. You have to go through all the range of emotions, and that can change, as they say, every day, every hour. But just developing resilience so that actually one day you kind of think, actually, I didn't feel too bad today. And I see it myself that when clients come in, they can't make eye contact. They're quite, you know, in kind of introverted themselves. And over the weeks, they start to realise that death is part of life, but that doesn't make it any less sad, so we're trying to make them a bit less sad, to deal with their emotions and hopefully get on with their lives.
How do you see the charity developing over the next 5 years?
I'm quite ambitious for the charity. I have been involved in the charitable sector, but I've also worked for private sector and for government. And I think the charity should stay fit for purpose. By that I mean we should evolve and develop it. The language of intergenerational youngsters use different language than, you know, your boomers or your Generation Z or your millennium. So it's kind of evolving and keeping up with all the pace of all that. It's very important to me. We'd like to develop a transition service, which is your kind of 18 to 25 year olds, because again, they have different language than somebody who's 40 or 50. So developing that service would be really important to me. Online support, if that's what people need, is something we might look at. Currently we do one-to-one, but nothing's off the table, as we can develop and make sure that people get the right support. I'm a true believer in the societal outcomes for people if they don't get the right support at the right time. I attended the Summerland, 50 years since the tragedy, 2 years ago, and I stood beside people that 50 years later are still affected, and I just wonder if they'd had the right support at the right time, would their life have taken a different path? So I think kind of getting the support, reaching out if you need it, you're not alone, we're here if you need it.
How is the charity funded?
There's 700 odd charities on the island, so it is very difficult to stand out in this very busy arena. We do get 5% of our overall funding from the Department of Health and Social Care, and we have some fantastic donors that support us, but we're always looking to continue to raise funds. We will be posting a deficit this year for various reasons, but it's a tough environment to raise money, so anyone who ever wants to do anything for us or get involved, you know, we're always looking to financially make sure we're secure. Ultimately, even with a small team, we have to turn the lights on, we have to make sure it's a warm environment. We refurbished the offices this year to make sure it's everyone's comfortable when they come in to have therapy. We put a waiting room in so you get your privacy. But it's a hard gig to raise money. I mean, I'm a chief executive, but I also do a lot of fundraising. We do a couple of events a year, but it is tough out there. But we rely on the generosity of individuals and companies. And anyone to do anything for us, we'd be delighted.
How can people support you?
People do regularly send us emails about volunteering, but because our training for our bereavement volunteers is a 3-month bespoke course, which we hold every 2 years, it's not something we can take extra volunteers. And obviously, everyone has to be DBS checked to make sure that they, you know, are compliant, and safeguarding is very important to us. So it's really, if they want to do any of the main events like the parish walk or the end to end or anything like that, or book of collections, we're always very grateful for, or just anything really. I mean, we are very lucky and we're a very, very generous island. People will give, but they slightly avoid the subject of death. And I know when I give talks to organisations, it's, you know, it kind of shy away from it, like it's not going to happen to them. And obviously it is going to happen to everybody. And we need to be there. The societal outcomes for people who don't have the support when they need it doesn't even bear thinking about. So, you know, anyone can get involved, reach out. We're on very busy on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and X, and our website's available as well. So just reach out and think, oh, I'd like to kind of help you. We'd always be very grateful.
Where can people find out more?
Our website is cruise.org.im, and we've got all the information about how you self-refer, how you find out more information. There's leaflets on there so people can look at that. And then we're very busy on social media, which is Facebook, which is cruise.iom. Same on LinkedIn, same on X, and then on Instagram there was a problem with it, so we're Cruise Isle of Man in full. But once you go onto the website, all the links are there to click on to find out what we're doing, and we're always very busy. People love to add an I, we're not a ship, so it's cruse for cruise.org.im. But we're the only bespoke bereavement charity on the island that looks after people, so put in anything like cruise bereavement or bereavement support on the Isle of Man will come up every time.
The charity of the week, brought to you by Kell Properties. Profile complete.